I. You know that song? They play it in the scene where Thor and Hela are fighting. I just love that scene. Okay. Today's Friday, October 4th, 2019, and you're listening to Uni News, UNF Spinnaker's podcast about the top news stories of the week, each week, every Friday at 3 p.m. I'm Editor-in-Chief Liana Norman. Today I'm here with Spinnaker's weather anchor, Miller Mott. Miller, tell me about your top story of the week.
So I talked to a University of Florida student. She's a dual citizen, Eleni Goez. Her family is from the state of Amazonas, which is the biggest state containing the rainforest fires in the Amazon.
So her family lives in Brazil still, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And how has the fire been impacting them?
They've seen an influx of people that are coming into the very remote place they live. They even live in an incredibly remote place. Getting to the city of Manaus, which is the capital of Amazonas, mm-hmm. she has to catch a 20-hour boat ride up the Amazon River to get to where they live.
So the fires have been affecting them, obviously, because of this influx of people.
Yes.
Do you know how close the fires are to her family? Are they in danger?
They're seeing more logging operations and cattle farming and other people kind of encroaching on these lands there near them that are lands that are protected. And these protected lands there is a culture right now that's basically the government, President Bolsonaro, is allowing these people to go into these protected lands, these indigenous lands, and these environmentally protected lands, and they can pretty much do what they want. It's almost lawless to say, and it's kind of pretty concerning, especially from an environmental standpoint.
And the Amazon does burn every year, correct?
Yeah, it is cyclic. Local farmers there, indigenous people there, they have to burn their land to keep their crops viable. I mean, the indigenous people there have been doing this for
centuries.
A really long time. Yeah. And but it's just not on the scale that it was this year. In July, it was up 278% this year compared to last year. That can be correlated with the new president, Bolsonaro.
How are these fires affecting the rest of the world?
It is putting out a lot more carbon. Brazil is still a developing country. They're not, you know, a first world country by any means. But they put out less carbon output than bigger countries like us. But these fires are increasing their carbon output. This biomass output is pretty unprecedented.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that Brazil, which is a developing nation, and usually doesn't have as many carbon emissions as, say, the United States would have, is now undergoing these fires that are causing, you said, 278% more carbon emissions than they would have from fires in general. That's not even including whatever emissions are coming from their civilizations.
Yeah, so Brazil usually emits 7 metric tons of carbon per capita annually.
Okay.
The United States emits 20.4 metric tons of carbon per capita annually. We emit way more normally than they do. And this is kind of bumping their carbon emissions up. And this is kind of along the lines of environmental justice. Environmental justice being that nations, in order to develop, need to put out these carbon emissions to have the luxuries that we have as a first world country. That's pretty much where Bolsonaro's argument comes into play. He's saying that Brazilians need to use this huge, vast resource that's in their backyard and so that they can develop. The problem is that this is an incredibly biodiverse resource, as they would say, that there are a lot of things that can come out of it that are good and reasons that it needs to be protected.
So there are two punches being packed in this. Mm-hmm. There's a political punch from Bolsonaro.
Yes.
And his government that is saying it's okay to use these lands. And then there's the effect of that, which also packs a carbon emission punch, which is more fires.
Exactly.
Less land, more emissions from construction, logging, and deforestation.
Exactly. The more land there is that's developed, the more land there is for people to move in. And we've already seen the population of the state of Amazonas skyrocket since 2014. It's just getting bigger.
When you have a country as large as Brazil, with as much land as Brazil and as much land that is in the Amazon forest that they have, these emissions don't go unnoticed.
Yeah, and that's...
So what can we do to help?
What we as UNS students can do to help, there are a few things. The most direct thing is we can stop eating beef, specifically beef that comes from Brazil, because that beef is, cattle farming is one of the biggest drivers of this deforestation. Indirectly, we can do, you know, basically try and cutting our own carbon footprint, eating less red meats, using less water, using less resources, trying to use less gas, carpooling, and even getting involved with student government. Student government recently has been taking on more active roles in being environmentally friendly, and so getting involved with them and doing your best to be environmentally friendly at home. Because at the end of the day, we're doing very bad things for the environment here. The best thing we can do is to focus on our environmental impact here, you know, if you really care about the environment.
Thank you, Miller. That was Miller Mott. He is our weather anchor. Stay tuned after this short break to hear a little bit about the rivalry between UNF and JU.
Spinnaker Radio is holding auditions for anyone interested in commentating play-by-play basketball games this season for UNF. If you've ever thought you'd be good at commentating or just want to give it a shot, email us for more information at content@unfspinnaker.com, and maybe you can be the new voice of the UNF Ospreys.
I'm here with Drew McDonald. He is our sports editor. Tell me a little bit about your top story of the week, Drew.
Well, hey, Leon. I got an article from Kat Cavallo, actually, this week, our sports anchor. So UNF soccer, men's soccer, plays against JU this Saturday. It's part of the River City Rumble between UNF
Highly
and
anticipated,
JU.
Yes. I hear. I'm not into sports as much as some, but I do know that the rivalry between UNF and JU is pretty hot. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's piping hot, Leon, actually. And they have this, basically, it's a competition called they have a wooden barrel. And all teams, UNF and JU, compete head-to-head. And whatever team wins that game, so if it's soccer beats JU, our team in soccer beats JU soccer team, we get a point. Our track team beats JU, it's another point. The most points at the end of the season gets an all wooden barrel. It's just a barrel for some reason, I don't know.
But, okay.
Yes. So we have a barrel right now on our display case at UNF Arena.
So there's a barrel to be had.
Yes.
Do you think that we will keep the barrel this year?
My heart, which is in my chest, it says yes. So if the heart wants. We've won it 8 times in the past 14 years. So the math says yes.
Okay. So, yes on the heart, yes on the head. So what's the significance of this weekend? Is it the end of the River City Rumble? Will the barrel be bestowed to someone? Or are we beginning the River City Rumble events? What's happening this weekend?
We started off this Saturday. UNF and JU begin this season, River City Rumble at JU. UNF men's soccer, we just won a game. We tied a game against an opponent last weekend. We're so ready to get back this Saturday and play JU.
So we've talked a bit about your head and your heart. What does your gut say about this weekend? What do you think is going to happen? Because we're not at UNF. We're at JU. So how do you feel?
My gut, that's filled with Krispy Kreme and Chick-fil-A, says that UNF will win against JU. And my gut is pretty telling. It, you know, tells me what food to eat, you know, what's good. And it tells me also that UNF is going to win this game.
All right. Thank you, Drew.
Yep.
Stay tuned for a quick announcement from our creative services department. We will be talking about vaping when we get back.
Hey Ospreys, have you picked up your copy of Spinnaker's Fall Magazine? The yearbook issue is Spinnaker's first virtually interactive magazine, and it features QR codes that you can scan for access to videos, Spinnaker TV episodes, and more. Grab a free copy from any Spinnaker stand or Blue Box on campus. Remember, we're working for you.
We're back, and I'm here with Courtney Green, our news editor, to talk about vaping.
Vaping. So I realize we've done several vaping stories in the past.
We have.
So this one's different. We're looking at laws about vaping, smoke-free campus initiative, health concerns involving vaping, and in addition, students' attitudes about vaping. So mm-hmm. this is... the big vaping story for UNF.
And I think it's also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the reason why this story is different as well is because in the past when we've done vaping stories, they haven't been able to pull weight on a national scale. And right. Now that it's coming into the national perspective and you have lawmakers talking about vaping and you have health officials talking about vaping, now that all of that is there, there's really, really been quite an influx of information. So it's not just us saying, oh, students are vaping and some people say it's bad for you, or what are the repercussions? We don't know. Now there's actual evidence and policy out there for this.
Right. For those who weren't aware, as of July 1st, vaping indoors is illegal here in the state of Florida. We have the Smoke-Free Campus Initiative here at UNF. That means you shouldn't be smoking. However, enforcement comes down to your peers. So you see somebody vaping and you got to be like, nah, brah, don't do that. Professors have to tell their students to quit. They can kick them out of the classroom if they see them doing it.
So it's kind of like an honor system.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some issue with that. But the big issue, however, is this recent, as of September 19th, the CDC came out with this study talking about the multiple different causes. They can't pinpoint exactly what it is that's in these vape pens, that's in the juice that you put in your vape pen. They can't pinpoint what exactly is going wrong. They have some suspects, which would be vitamin E oil. The issue is vitamin E, when you inhale it, it sticks, adheres to the lining of your lungs and acts as saran wrap. You can be breathing in oxygen, but it is not getting into your bloodstream. As of September 17th, there's 530 confirmed and probable cases of lung injury associated with e-cigarette products or vaping, and that's in 38 states and one territory. There are 7 confirmed deaths because of this. While we have not seen cases here at UNF, we do know that people vape here at UNF. We've seen them. Mm-hmm. There is the Juul Pod Challenge, where you can walk along the sidewalk and see how many Juul Pods do you see laying around or in the trash. I believe that that has been done before. So we have a problem here, just like every community.
Mm-hmm. So what solution did she give? Is the solution just to quit vaping altogether, or are there trusted brands and certain products that are verified that are safe, or do we just not know right now? What's the deal with that?
Perez would prefer if people just stopped vaping until we figure out what is going on, what the issues are, and pinpoint where we're going wrong with these vape pens and these pods. If you're going to do it, definitely don't get bootleg counterfeit versions. First of all, that's illegal. Secondly, they are not regulated. You don't know what is in them. If it's synthetic stuff, that can mess you up worse.
And are there services that can help people quit vaping? 'Cause I know this is a really unique situation we're in, mm-hmm. because these e-cigarette products exist to help people stop smoking, and now there's an issue with the e-cigarette products. So is there anything to help us wean off of the thing that was supposed to help us wean off of the first thing?
Right. So they were marketed originally as a way to quit smoking. That may have just been a marketing ploy. We'll never know. But yes, Student Health Services has programs. They have a way to wean you off of the nicotine, just like if you were smoking a cigarette.
Tune in next Friday at 3 p.m. for another episode of Uni News. Special thanks to Courtney Green, Drew McDonald, and Miller Mott. And a very special thank you to our audio engineer, Madison Roberts. For more on top stories of the week, you can head over to unfspinnaker.com. I'm Liana Norman with Spinnaker News. Have a great weekend, everyone.